The artist Vidias was probably the greatest sculptor among all of the ancient Greek people. And legend tells us that he was very careful, especially when he would apply the last finishing touches to his work, especially when he was doing the beautiful statue of Diana that was intended to adorn the Acropolis in Athens. And as he applied his chisel to the backside of Diana's head, he shaped every single hair strand with the greatest patience, and gave full attention to every last detail. And it seems there was an observer who reminded Phidias that this statue would someday stand about 100 feet up above the people with its back to a huge marble wall. And the bystander said to Phidias, "Why do you waste your time on those finishing touches that will really never be seen by anyone? Who is ever going to see that kind of beauty there?" And Phidias replied, "I will." Rough, uneven, unfinished, unpolished, as we people may be today, we human beings are nevertheless the masterworks of the divine artist. And that is why each and every one of us happens to be the subject of continuing further shaping and fashioning by our God, to become what our God intends each of us to become ever since the moment he gave us life. We all do need our own share of those finishing touches so that the inner resources of our spirit continue to grow and become formed. We are not yet complete human beings. None of us are. We spend our entire life in that process. We are all engaged in this process of becoming more than we are right now at this moment. We are all engaged in moving forward toward that goal, a goal of complete fulfillment. Or in the language of the gospel lesson we just heard, in the process of being saved. That is the mystery of which we are all a part. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's what Jesus tells us. And that promise of salvation from Jesus is really our own guarantee that those finishing touches of the divine artist are being applied to each one of us now through the ordinary daily events of our lives. We are also very much aware of how today the big advertisers have their fingers constantly on the public pulse, trying to determine what we need and want. And that is why their heavy advertising of pills and medications has become so profitable for them. They know how we are feeling and what we think we want. They know what the dominant mood is today, so that from the top of our heads to the tip of our toes, from the quick headache relief pills to the spray-on foot preparations, we people today are so ready and willing to buy just about anything that gives us promise to make our life situation just a little bit more bearable, more tolerable. We accept their message. If only my hair were a different color. If only I could sleep. If only I could stay awake. If only I could smell better. If only I could lose weight. If only I didn't have these wrinkles. If only I could look younger. We clutch at straws today. We are quite willing to be mesmerized. We are ready to accept any kind of finishing touch that will promise to make our life a little bit more tolerable. And of course, what is most tragic of all is that today millions of people are beginning to depend upon addictive drugs for those finishing touches. They'll do almost anything to cover over the loneliness, the boredom, the anxiety, the depression, the alienation. And so great masses of people today have resorted to pill popping, elbow bending, snorting, and mainlining. And for a wide variety of reasons, not the least of which is drug abuse, today the dominant mood of society has become pessimism. But the spirit of the risen Jesus present here now among us constantly is in our midst today to tell us that we do have good reason to reverse that mood of pessimism. And that happens to be the good news of today's gospel, that we people of faith do not need to wait for some kind of golden tomorrow that the advertising people and the politicians promise us, and yet never deliver. We people do not need to settle for dreams of the way things were theoretically in some day gone by, in some less complex era. We do not have to look for our salvation in pills and powders and liquor. That finishing touch for our salvation today need not be found in pills and powders. But it is available now at this very moment. The living God acting now in our life, in our world, in a saving way, in the ordinary events that sometimes might disturb us. This intense living presence and power of God, the love and the grace of God, is at work now within us and around us to bring us people the fullness of life that we so desperately need and want. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And from His fullness we have all received. All we need do is be open to receiving what is available. The living Christ, the Eternal One, the innermost essence of God's being, has come to identify totally with us in our present life now, so that we might have this wholeness, so that we might learn how to love and how to hope, that we might have salvation, the kind of wholeness we seek. This means that we people today experience Jesus Christ as our Savior now in our ongoing daily common life, in the things that are going on right now with us. All we need do is look at the Holy Gospels and understand in all those stories how Christ came to people of his own time in the ordinary days of their lives. To the doubting Thomas, struggling with the problems of his belief and faith. To Peter, struggling with his calling to become a fisher of people. To the woman who was caught in adultery, standing there, accused. To Mary Magdalene, struggling with her emotional illnesses. To Mary and Martha, struggling with their grief because of the death of their brother Lazarus, whom they loved so very much. And Christ walked into the life of the Samaritan woman when she came to the well to get a bucket of water. A woman so confused and caught up in relationships, having lived with three or four men before her mixed up life now with the fifth man. And here she was carrying out a simple household chore, something she did every day, to come to the well for water. Right there, in the very middle of her daily routine, Christ came to talk with her. And so it is with each one of us in the ordinary things that we do. It's a very much like the ad that appeared in the Lost and Found column. It said, "Lost, 1 11-year-old dog, brown hair with several bald spots, right front leg broken due to auto accident, left rear hip hurt, right eye missing, left ear bitten off in a dog fight. It answers to the name Lucky." This is what you and I so often feel like during the week. And yet, the Spirit of the risen Christ comes as our Savior at the very times when we feel just like poor old Lucky must have felt, all chewed up. The risen Christ, of course, also comes to us in our mountaintop experiences. And yet most of us are old enough today to realize the mountaintop moments are not quite as frequent as the other kind. But the promise of Jesus is always there. He is with us always in the ups and the downs of daily life. He is with us in our ordinary, common, routine events of life. He is with us wherever we are. He is with us whatever our life situation happens to be. If we really want to become the kind of whole, healed, unique persons that our God intended us to become when he gave us life, then all we need do is submit our life unconditionally to the touch of the hand of the Master, to identify with Jesus Christ in the same way that he identifies with us. And when the very last finishing touch is applied, then who, we ask, is going to know that it is there? God will know, we will know. And that is all really that we need to know, to discover finally that we have the kind of inner resources that we wanted all the while.